This episode of Football 301, Mr. Four Verts, Charles McDonald, joins me because it's draft season. We're going to talk some prospects. Three guys that we're high on, stock is up, and then three guys that, I don't know if stock down might be the term that's right, but stock shakiness, some question marks about a few other players. Very fun show with Chuck. We talked some O-lineman weight. We talked age. We talked quarterback weight. Yeah, we got some outlier talk in this show. Very, very fun to get distracted with Chuck. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome back to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice. Great show for you today as we get out of the 2025 season and enter the 2026 draft season. We're going to be talking about a few prospects. Stock up, stock, I don't know what to say stock down, but stock question mark, maybe for a few other guys to help me do that after we just previewed the Super Bowl, recapped the Super Bowl, did every single week this season. Now we're in draft season, and he's going to be joining me this entire few months. This is a terrible intro, but we're going to roll into it. Charles McDonald, Mr. Four Verts. How you doing today, Chuck? Good to see you. Good to see the lighting's going well over there in the studio in New York.
Yeah, I had the sun on me for a second. We're trying to figure out some lighting situation. And then, you know, sometimes it's funny when you figure out like the best solution is just going back to where you started and just powering through. You know, we're here for the weekend. It's about time for a lot of people, I think, to take a little bit of a break before we really dive into draft stuff. So I'm ready. I've been kind of laughing at some of the discourse this week post Super Bowl, because you just can't help but talk about the quarterbacks. You know, that was the only thing that happened in that game. And yeah, we watched an all-time defense, but everyone just wants to talk about Sam Darnold, who he had a great game 2 weeks ago, but Sunday, I don't know, wasn't the story to me. But I'm glad that we can turn the page and talk about something a little bit more tangible now.
Everything has to be a thing. Everything just hashtag thing. Everything has to be a thing. It's not No Shave November anymore. It's like, no, you have to hashtag it. Everything just has to be something. No, but same with that. I mean, last year, if we just remembered how that Super Bowl went and Patrick Mahomes couldn't even throw the football, Kansas City Chiefs offensive line completely overwhelmed, Eagles defense just absolutely taking over and shellacking, pass rush winning one after another, and they play a defense that doesn't blitz a lot and plays a lot of too high. And then now Mike McDonald wins and everything. And everyone's like, maybe this is the defensive scheme that you have to win with it. This was the same conversation we had last year, guys. Oh, slot corners are a premium position. Cooper DeJean played last year. Jalen Ramsey for the Rams just a few years before that. And they won the Super Bowl, guys. McDuffie. Because it just happened last doesn't mean it has to be the newest thing that we have to like extrapolate from it. But yeah, same with the quarterbacks discussion, which upon review, I know everyone's going to be like, oh, you're going to guard your guy here. The May stuff wasn't as bad as I thought on review. It wasn't as bad on review. It wasn't. It was just kind of like, oh, the offensive line got their absolute butts kicked and Doug Marrone and Josh McDaniels didn't do anything to make anything easier. That's kind of my upon further review of that game. But the Seahawks defense was just insane. I mean, rewatching it, there's nothing you can do.
My only real takeaway on the takeaways is like, damn, dude, like we really did this 2 years in a row. Like we kind of got the same game 2 years in a row. Obviously the Eagles Chiefs was a lot more destructive feeling and looking
drastic,
but, we walked away from that game. You know, talk about Jalen Hurts. It's like, I didn't think that was his best game of the season. Like, it wasn't bad, obviously, because you know, didn't turn the ball over or and has some big throws. But we started doing like, what's wrong with Patrick Mahomes? Well, I saw him play last season, nothing. So probably, I imagine Drake May will be fine. We just gotta get to the next season. It's got a long off season it takes, and we got to fill every second of air.
Every stone's got to be overturned. The last thing is the whole schedule thing, which I hope was never a discussion again about the NFL. It's more just that the Seahawks were this much better than the Patriots. It's also the fan base. And I get how fan bases work. It's like, you get 48 hours. You're going to talk crap. You're going to say it. Like, you're going to get it out. Jokes might not mean everything. It's not the truth. It's a joke. But I'm loving Bills fans and some Broncos fans going like, you know, because of the Bo Nix stuff, going like, oh, Drake May, the schedule. And then meanwhile, if you look at that same stuff that they're citing about the Patriots schedule, the Bills and the Broncos are 31st and 30th as far as the easiest schedules in the NFL, like Patriots are 32nd. So I'm like, I don't know if you guys should be talking. I don't know if you guys should really be talking here, because everything you're saying could get thrown back right at you. But anyways, let's talk about the draft. I think it's pretty fun. This is always a fun kind of time of the NFL season, because like this week is, it's the in-between week, and then we have one more week, and then it's the combine. Just jump right into it, and the combine is when we really launch into draft season. But you and I have been percolating about this for months now, talking, checking in, panning for prospects, just talking about certain guys throughout the season. Some Fernando Mendoza early talk. Football 301 was on that train before anyone. But we also, today, as the combine's about to get in, and we have the All-Star games already done, and some, you know, people are talking. Now we know who's officially declaring. We're going to talk about some guys that maybe have risen since the last time we have talked prospects. Guys that more caught our eyes, maybe during the college football playoff took off. Maybe you guys had a good All-Star week. And some guys that we're starting to have more question marks on. Maybe guys that we had high that we see dropping, or we feel like are dropping, or just as the second half of the film, second half of the season kind of dropped off. I mean, I haven't done a big board since Halloween, and I have a lot of changes I can't wait to make when I do my next updated big board after the combine. But I think it's very fun to kind of just start parsing these guys, and I don't want to say planting flags, but just starting planting ideas and thoughts about these guys as we're going to be starting to talk about them. We're going to do position by position previews the next couple months, just like we did last time. I'm going to have my dad on again to talk O-line, so don't you guys worry. We're going to be talking free agency in the next couple weeks, some of my favorite shows as well, but a little primer as we get into combine month. All right, we'll start off though with stock up. By the way, combine's still in Indy, which it should be. I'm glad about that. It should be forever, because I think it's a perfect spot for it. But anyways, stock up. Charles, first prospect you want to talk about, stock up for you.
Okay, I went with, this is a very cold stock up, you know. I mean, I think just most people are high on this guy. But I went with Reuben Bain from Miami, only because I've seen some interesting discussions about him. I hadn't really like watched too much like tape of him until after the season. Like I watched a ton of football on Saturdays, so like I've watched most of his game. I've seen him play a bunch of games, but I've seen some interesting discussions about him. Like, you know, maybe he's going to have to kick inside to play defensive tackle, because I think there was a stretch like in the middle of the season where he didn't have like a whole bunch of production in terms of just like the raw counting stats. Because I think he might have went like he had basically two sacks over the first, you know, good portion of the season. And then they got to the later portion of the season when they played Pitt. He had 1.5 sacks, then 3 sacks versus Texas A&M, another sack versus Ohio State, and a sack versus Indiana in the college football championship. So, you know, sometimes you got to actually like go back and look at the film, and you can't just say, oh, well, maybe his production is slowing down because he's got short arms or this and that. No, sometimes like your pressures, like they just aren't getting home sometimes. Yeah. Or sometimes you're just not, you're just like a hair too late. Or sometimes like your teammate on the other side also has 12 sacks in the season, and we'll get to him later. So I when I start going through like some of the games where his production was lower, I didn't really see anything that would suggest that this still isn't one of like the top players in the draft. In fact, like I think he caused a lot of mayhem and production for other players on his own defense. And to me, that's kind of what gets you excited about him. And I know people are going to say, oh, he's short and he's stocky. And yeah, and like when you see that in Indianapolis, like don't like double count it, you know, like you already know he's probably going to be like 6'2", 270. So don't like dock it for that if you already know that going in, because he makes up for it in a good way. And we've talked about this in the past, like if you're not going to be the biggest, like longest player, what you can do is be strong as hell and quick off the ball, which he has. He's got pass rush moves. He's smart. And then when you like look at the production concerns, well, when they had their best games in the college football playoff, he was unstoppable. Like he had 4 TFLs, 3 sacks versus Ohio State, another 2.5 TFLs and a sack versus Indiana. So he's the engine for that defense. And I'm really excited to see if we got work out numbers at some point, because the combine is not what it used to be. You know, like you used to say, oh, you know, I'd love to see what he run. Like, I don't know if anyone's going to run this year. I would imagine he doesn't run because that's kind of been the precedent that's set. But Reuben Bain, I'm going to give him a stock up because I think with that playoff run, he really cemented himself as one of the best players in the draft.
Yeah, I started warm, well, pretty warm on him. I had him fairly high in my like preseason big board. I think he was like 17. And then with Bane, was his freshman year was real good. And then his sophomore year was very inconsistent. But there's still flashes there. And then this year, obviously, first month of the season was the most dominant player probably in college football, like any position. Yeah. like just truly taking over games. And then he had kind of a, like you just mentioned, almost like a middle eight, like in a football game, like kind of like a middle four yeah. game stretch there. And funny, it was the last time I really talked about him was with Dane in November. And I think both of them were kind of, we both were in kind of consensus on it, where we're like, yeah, you know, he's kind of dropped off a little bit. I'm cooling on him. Maybe he has to kick inside all this. And then he tears it up in the college football playoff. And it's like, okay, never mind. Back to where we started. It's power is definitely has more of a place right now because of how defenses are using guys. I think, you know, the bendy freak on the edge is, of course, the ideal. But also those are guys that usually if it's so obvious that they're going to go top five, there's no questions about it. So it's like, okay, if you don't win that way, do you win enough to push the pocket? One, two, do you have enough counters off of pushing the pocket? You know, some guys have to throw some finesse in there. You can't just throw 102 mile an hour heater every single time. And then three, are you able to play the run? But he can play the run, and that's going to be where he's going to be a plus player at. Also, I think right here on the YouTube show, if anyone checks it out, we have a Hayden Winks tweet that came across from Underdog. And that stat that you listed off, Keldrick Falk, who's another edge that I'm higher on than most because he's super young and has some bend, but also kind of a developing pass rush game. But he impacts the run as well. But that's what you need. Like how defenses use guys now, they're all twisting and they're all knifing inside and they're all just kind of moving around. So it's like that traditionalism, I think is the best way to put it. I'm kind of fading that a little bit. I think maybe the best example, maybe like Mike Green last year. I know he had off-field stuff, but that went to the Ravens. Like, yeah, he's bendy, he's twitchy and everything, but if you can't hold up at the point of attack,
right?
You know, you're kind of limited. It's like a tight end that can't block. Like, you're kind of limited a little bit how we can use you. So
yeah,
I've kind of like settled on where I feel with Bane. Say again.
I said that's what people always forget when it comes to like looking at the defensive line scouting. Like, the most important thing is you're not getting blown off the ball, bro. Not that you're like knifing through the backfield and making a bunch of highlight plays. Like, it's the down to down. Okay, like, can you fit the run on first down? Or are you going to get blown off the ball? Because if you do, then I don't care if you can get 10 TFLs in the season if it comes out at the expense of our whole defense when you try to get them.
Right.
So, like that's like back in the day, I was so much lower on Solomon Thomas because I was like, dude. It looks like a 265-pound player playing defensive tackle, right? Like, he's not yeah. Michael Bennett. He's getting blown off the ball. But, yeah. like, Reuben Bane, like, what makes him special is you don't have to worry about that. Like, he's stout, and he's got the balance to kind of stay up. Like, I think, like, the idea he would play full-time defensive tackles is ridiculous. Like, he's not big enough for that. But, like, he can rush inside if you want to on pure pass. Right. That's a plus. Like, you can use him everywhere, but really kind of like it's weird because he's got like a classic, like, I think you can play a classic like 4-3 defensive end, but like he also fits mm-hmm. today's like whatever the hell you want to do. So really just a special player. And I'm glad that he got the playoff run because like, man, I think we're kind of overthinking this one a little bit. And he got the production yep. to match the hype too.
He's a top 10 player to me. Like the guy that yeah. I keep coming back to comparing him to is Brandon Graham. And they're built almost exactly yeah. the same. Brandon Graham came in at 6'1 3/8", 268, arm length with 32 and a quarter. He had big hands, almost 10-inch hands. Ran a 4.72. Wow, hopefully we see some of these numbers. like you said, but 31 reps on the bench. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense with Brandon Graham. If anyone watched yeah. Brandon Graham play, that's exactly what you envision. Brandon Graham went, I think, 7th or 13th overall, sorry, in the 2010 draft. He was a second team all pro, one time pro bowler, and just a good player, like just for years and years. Just good, useful player. Didn't matter who was calling plays, you can find a use for him. He ended up listed weight 265. Reuben right now is around the same weight. That's who I'm envisioning, kind of the upside of him. Play style, how he's built, everything, how he impacts the game. A good 3-4 down player that is great against the run and good against the pass. And it's like, that's a top 10 player to me, especially this type of draft class. So I'm glad we talked about Bane a little bit. And I'm actually glad we're going to talk about his teammate a little later. I'm glad you threw his name in there. All right, let's get on to my first one. This guy was a Senior Bowl standout In a tackle class that's wide open, these are the guys that interest me. And sometimes when you get a guy that's more project-y, bendy athlete, I'm a little trepidatious, I think might be the word I'm looking for, about like that. Oh, okay, if you were so obvious, you should have been talked about earlier than this or looked at earlier than this. But this is offensive tackle Max Ehinisher from Arizona State. He is a JUCO transfer, a guy that when you hear JUCO transfer, especially this day and age, JUCO transfer, redshirt, all that stuff, senior, and it's still kind of project-y, that's a little worrisome. Okay, why? Like, you know, why haven't been talked about? But JUCOs, there's kind of an old scouting adage. It's that you have to wait until the last year, or like the last kind of chunk of their last year, if that makes sense. Like, they're going to be late developing generally if they're a JUCO guy, because they haven't had quote unquote proper coaching. And I think there's some truth to that, especially a position like tackle. But man, this guy, he dominated the Senior Bowl, and he had a lot of flash and had a lot of athleticism. I watched one game of him earlier in the year, and I wasn't like crazy about him. I could see some movement stuff. Then I watched three games from the second half of the season. Texas Tech. Oh man, I had this written down, but Texas Tech was for sure one of them. Holy crap. This guy is way more polished than I think he's even getting credit for. Like, he understands calm sets. He understands not throwing his hands too early. He played right tackle for Arizona State, but I think he has the athleticism to play left. And honestly, at this day and age, I just think, just take a tackle. Yeah, you prefer a lefty. Yeah. I've always likened it to baseball pitching. Yeah, you prefer a lefty pitcher, but man, if you have a righty that throws 101, like, take him. He's a freak athlete, plus athlete. I think has more polish to his game than maybe I gave him, than you would expect narratively. Calm hands, got some grit to him in the run game too. Got some pop. He's got good size. I think he was. I'll get his official measurements in a second, but because he did at the Senior Bowl, this guy's rising for me. I think that when we do our big board post combine, Chuck, I think this guy might end up in the top 20 for me. And I might be super high, might be getting ahead of myself, but this is what they look like. And I think he has more to him that it's not like the idea of him's cool, but we'll see. You know, it's like, no, there's real football player to him and real understanding of technique that I could project to get better if he gets into the right situation. I'm not sure if you watched him yet or not, but dude, this guy is very, very exciting. Yeah. In a wide open tackle class, he's very exciting.
Yeah, I'm still working my way through the tackle class, but I did watch Blake Miller last night. Dabo finally got an offensive lineman. Finally got one.
Only took him, what, 15 years? Oh, my God. They've never had any. I can't think of the last Clemson lineman drafted.
They had the supplementary draft guy a while back for, like, the St. Louis Rams, like Isaiah something.
Great call.
I don't remember his last name.
That was, like, 2000.
Yeah, but
15?
I
was with the Falcons like that. When that happened. So
They were still in St. Louis. So yeah, that's how long ago that was. They never have any offensive linemen, but Blake Miller, he's a guy that really stood out when I checked him out last night. And it seems like this offensive tackle class is pretty strong. So I think, damn, like, if they work out, there's a lot of money to be made for, you know, a lot of guys at the top of this offensive line class.
Receivers, and talk about them. Receivers are getting a lot of hype. There's a lot of receivers, first round, day two, a lot of those type of guys, top 60-ish guys. But I think this tackle class that was rated well before the season, including by myself, some of the guys dropped off, but some names have risen. Blake Miller is one of those guys, and I'm going to talk about another guy in a sec because I can't help myself and talk two tackles. But this, Max has been, all right, I got his measurements, by the way. So this is the Senior Bowl, so this is as official as it gets. 6.055, so 6.5 and 5.8, 325, 9.5-inch hands, 34.5-inch arms. So this guy is long, light feet, got some grit to him. That's what they look like, guys. It's not all perfect, but it is like, wow. I can't emphasize enough how blown away it was. Like, I'm almost mad that I didn't catch up on him in November and watch those games in November, because, like, it's kind of obvious once you watch him what this guy looks like. I'm excited to have my
Arizona
dad look
State.
At him.
It's a tough call.
I know, and you get that. Arizona State lineman. I don't know. It's like a Clemson lineman.
It's a tough call.
Yeah, I know. Especially Tyson was hurt. Quarterback quit. It was kind of hard to put them out a little too much. All right, let's get to your second one. This was also a team that got pretty rough to watch in the second half of the year.
I went with Garrett Nussmeier, and I put him here mostly because I forgot he existed until I was like channel surfing and the Cedar Bowl was on. And so I stopped and I watched it. And he came in, he looked really good, man. Like, I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, sometimes you remember you were, like, guys, they play hurt, right? And you don't get to see the best version of themselves. And it, like, from all the quarterbacks I saw in that game, he was easily the best one in terms of, like, accuracy, just operating the offense. Yeah. And it's an all-star game. So, caveat. And, you know, what he put on tape at LSU is obviously much more important, but he just looked healthier than he did, like, late season. Had a lot more zip on the ball, I thought. Looked more confident, just moved better in that Senior Bowl game. So I was like, oh, yeah, like, you're actually not bad. You just kind of you ran into a tough spot in your last season and just kind of forgot he was there. But that game was a good reminder that, hey, you know, maybe that is still someone who can be a starting quarterback down the road. And I'm interested to see, like, how this draft process kind of turns out for him because, you know, I still think there's a good amount here to like. Obviously, you know, he's got the NFL connections with his dad. So, you know, it's not like this thing will be totally foreign for him. I think there's still value there. Like, if you can find there on day two or even if he's there, like, in round three, why not? Like, that's someone who could be a starter for you down the road.
I've had a journey with Nuss. Really 2 years ago, watching Jaden Daniels, and he got knocked out of a game, and Nuss stepped in. I was like, oh, not too bad. And then watching last year in a wide open quarterback class, and it was him and Cam Ward to me. I was like, those are the top two guys. I think when I did my Halloween big board, I was like, yep, those are my top two. Only guys in the top 20 for me. And then he returned to school. And the thing with him and my former colleague, Dane Brugler, who just released his big board this week, him and I kind of joked this summer about Nuss. It's that, like, as anyone that's ever listened to me, I'm all about traits with quarterbacks, size and weight and these types of things. And Nuss is one of these guys. I'm just like, oh, yeah, what is he, 6 feet? He's fine. What is he, 200 pounds? Yeah, he's fine. 8.5-inch hands. 9 inches is like the like, no, I never go below 9-inch. Yeah, he's fine. Like, I wave away so many red flags with him because I just love how he plays. I mean, he's a gunslinger. I wish he was bigger because I wish he had maybe some of the high-end traits that some of these other guys do because his play style is so much fun. This guy is willing to chuck it, willing to push the ball, a fine athlete to scramble and everything. Nuss might end up as my QB2. I'll just spoil it later on. I'll talk about Ty Simpson, but between Nussmeier, Simpson, and then I hope Trinidad Chambliss declares. I know he's still, you know, fighting it. Like, they still have like court hearings and everything with everything with him. But it's like the three SEC small 6'1" QBs. It's like that little triad there. I'm trying to sift through and figure out which one I like the most. I think Ty I like the least. I want to see if Trinidad does declare because I really liked his film a lot more than I anticipated. But Nussmeier is just a baller, man. I have a round three grade on him. It won't waver. I've watched so many games on him. He's older too, another red flag. But like you said, there's that NFL background where it's like I think at worst you get a high end backup and like, that's what you're kind of doing around three is high end backup with a chance to start. He doesn't have maybe the tools or traits, but he has the play style that can win with. So I like him. I think he's just a fun football player. And I agree with you that he had a really nice, he was probably the most consistent one Senior Bowl week. He was the best in the game. So right there with you on Nuss, still on the Nuss bus. We're going to take our next break or first break, and we'll come back with a few more prospects. We are still up with their stock before we get a little shaky at the end. See you guys in a sec. All right, we are back, and I'm going to get to my next prospect that stock is up on. I hinted at it. There's some cool tackles rising. This one is close to your heart as well. This is Monroe Freeling, tackle from Georgia, where we've kind of talked about him a little bit over the last couple months. But this is another guy that, if you watch him in the first half of the year, watch him against Auburn, I believe, because I think I did against Keldrick Falk. Oh my God, I would be like, no way. This guy's got to go back to school. Good athlete, but we'll see. You watched the last month. Unbelievable film. Great film. Just something clicked for him. as far as how he uses his hands. He's got more pop to him. He's a long-limbed guy with a basketball background. And usually when you hear that, you're like, oh, God, this guy's not going to be tough or strong or have grit to him. And that really is what came along for him. He's got some pop with his hands now, better use of hands. You could tell an excellent athlete. You get him out in space, he can knock down DBs and linebackers. He can climb easily. He's never on the ground, which is always a big thing for me. Watching offensive linemen and athleticism. Better in the run game than I anticipated. His anchor improved, and I still think he has more frame to grow into. He's all 6'7". I think he could put on another 15 pounds easily. It'll be no big deal. Very, very high on him. Him and Hinesher, like those two have like really risen for me, where those two are battling for OT1 more than like, can they be a first rounder? And I mean that, a guy from Miami is kind of his own category, because I think he's more of a guard, but can try at tackle. And then I think the Utah guys, like, I'm still really high on Lomu, but Lomu's kind of a different animal than these two. Lomu's such a technician and just has to add strength, while Freeling is a freak and he sure is a freak. And like those two guys, it's like, okay, that's a different kind of style, what you're projecting and everything. So, man, I like you hinted at, tackle class is pretty interesting, and I think Freeling and Hinesher are two of those interesting names. Stock way up on him, and not just me, I think league wide stocks up on him, because if you just watch the last month, you'll be like, oh my God, this guy's legit. But I know you're a Bulldog, a Georgia guy, so give me some of your feelings on Freeling.
It's funny, because like if you had transported like this back a year, you showed me a mock draft like this time last year with Freeling in the first round, like, dude, I might punch him in the face, bro. What are you talking about? Because just go back and watch the Notre Dame playoff game. Like, it was a disaster for him. He was one of their worst offensive players in the game that featured a lot of bad offensive players. And to get to where he is now, holy crap, like, it's really an insane, insane improvement. And that's what's got you. I think that's what gets people, like, even like me too, like, excited about what he can do at the NFL, because you've already seen how fast he can improve. It's not like sometimes more in the past, sometimes we would get caught up with guys like, oh, you know, he can move, he can do this and that, but like, I haven't actually seen him play well. But we have seen that with Freeling, and really just totally different from a physical specimen standpoint. I mean, he was the personal punt protector at 6'7", 315, like. You don't really see that too much from like your starting left tackle, like getting back there on punt team and going down and potentially having to make a tackle on somebody. So I'm he's one of these guys, like, you should run in Indianapolis. Like, go show everyone how athletic you are, put some numbers on it, and really start to like kind of build that draft type, because his film, like, it wasn't perfect all season, but it got so much better by the end. It's like, man, like, I would imagine a lot of offensive line coaches are looking at that like,
yeah,
like, that could be us. That could be us. And we can kind of get this moving forward and punch it through to the next level. Because I'm with you. Like, he's 315 and he could gain weight and he can still get stronger and he can still get better, which is ridiculous because he's a starting caliber player right now.
Yeah. That's the thing. I understand tools. Like, obviously, like, that's what the name of the game is, tools and traits. And Freeling and Hinesher are just so different than some of these other toolsy prospects that get hyped up to me. There's more real football player to them already with room to grow. And that's like that perfect kind of what I look for. You know, some guys are obvious. Like, you're like, oh yeah, this guy's like, his technique's already good. You already have good tape and he's athletic as hell. Okay, cool. You're a top 20 pick, top 15 pick. The guys like this, like, it's exciting that you could see it turn on for them in the last month of their college seasons. So it's not just pure projection, because you get in trouble sometimes when you're just projecting and you're like, and you're kind of going like, what film are you projecting off of? Because I'm not seeing any of them figure it out at any game or any snap or any series. There's a couple flashes. It's flashes here, but actually sustained, consistent play. There's a play with Freeling, I want to say the SEC championship game or late in the season, but one of those two. He climbs the line, climbs the second level, boom, 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 perfect. Feet are great, latches onto the guy. And then usually when you see this, sometimes, especially in college, that big line, the linebacker tries to throw him. And then like bad athletes kind of just fall to the ground. Okay, you got the block, but they yeah. fall off. Guy tries to throw him and he resets and like rebalances himself. And I was like, yeah, that's 6'7". Yeah, let's do that. I know, this is stuff gets going with offensive line film. So it's like, yeah, but those little plays with him is what got me really excited with some approved pop, is how I'll put it. But we have another SEC player coming up for you, Charles. Another player that you stocked up on. This is a very interesting player overall.
Yeah, I'm going back to like what you kind of said about how you look at quarterbacks. Now some of these guys are breaking rules, and Caleb Banks is breaking some rules for me with the production. Defensive tackle from Florida. He's got basically just like 1 year of having solid production. 2024, 7 TFLs, 4.5 sacks. Last year he played 3 games. He had 1 TFL, 0 sacks, 6 tackles. And I don't care. Just don't care. I watched. It's not the same. It's like I'm honestly explaining this 0 sacks is not the same as Shamar Stewart's 0 sacks. You know, like these are not the same players. And I know what I said last year.
Derogatory, complimentary. Right.
Yes, complimentary 0 sacks. Man, like this guy is, I don't know what he's going to test at, but I think he's like super duper athletic for his size. Like he's a monster. Like he's a legit 6'6", 330. And it's just like, even though he only had 1 TFL, I do think like there may be some concerns about like, I guess like finishing the disruption that he starts, but man, like he is a really, I think he's a really sound player. In terms of like his technique, like the movement steps that he's able to take at that size and what he's able to play with leverage at 6'6", 330 and still kind of explode through contact. It's really, really ridiculous. And really just, I guess the whole defense is kind of well coached. And I thought that, just like he's not one of those players where like you see like there's no production and he's throwing the film. It's like, oh, he's getting lost out there. Like he doesn't know what's going on. Like, no, like he was definitely a big reason like in the handful of games he played, like why they were able to have some success defensively. So I'm fascinated to see like if he does like measurables this year, because I know he's banged up during the season. But I was watching some of his clips last night. It's like, man, like you really, like he really does know what's going on. He's explosive. He's powerful. Like the agility to kind of stay low and shoot through your gaps was pretty impressive. Just, you probably like to see a little bit more production for how disruptive he is, but it's not like he's out there like, oh, I don't know what's going on. And we're just doing this straight off of like pure athletic projection. Like, no, he's a good football player. And I watched like some of the Senior Bowl clips too, like just really overpowering guys, especially when he reads it out and he knows where the play is going. Really, really hard to beat because he's so strong and so powerful and plays a good technique. So that's a guy who's got a chance to gain a whole lot of money. And I'm going to try to be responsible about where I rank him when I get to it, because, you know, he does have like just 1 year of like actually, you know, finishing plays in production.
Yeah, he's such an interesting thing, because even preseason, I think I snuck him into a top 30, or he was like on my next 5. He's kind of always been like a top 40 player for me. But the thing was, every time I wanted to watch him, he only played 3 games this year. So it was like, okay, it was hard for me to just go like, okay, I see the flashes, but it's hard to go, okay, you're in there. Like, you know, so he's always been kind of like what I would grade as a early second round grade, but I'm with you. Senior Bowl, he played great like throughout the week. And I think there's a swell with him right now. As far as kind of like, first, I'll get to the measurements in a sec. That's where he usually starts. But then throughout the week, he actually was able to perform, stay on the field under that kind of coaching and everything. And I think that's where everyone's like getting even more excited. So you're talking about film, but yeah, Senior Bowl wise too. 6'6", 335, 10¾-inch hands. So 10 6/8, 35-inch arms. As I say that, we put a picture up here on YouTube and you can see those 35-inch arms. Yeah, he is
ridiculous.
No, absolute freak. I agree with you. Just like when I was talking about these tackles, there's the traits. Okay, is it, am I playing to the flashes, the traits, whatever? he's a real football player. Like, there's actually stuff to him. It's not just, like you said, he's not lost. And I think that's a good way to put it, to kind of like clear him up. Because last year he played 12 games. He had 4.5 sacks, 7 TFLs. And that's why I thought of him as a top 30-ish player going into this season. He was a transfer from Louisville. He's been at Florida for a few years now. So, but no, I think he's going to just keep rising. This class is very funky. There's no consensus. There's going to be a lot of – it's a big eye of the beholder draft. The draft always is, but this draft especially, because I think first-round grades, it's only – I think teams will probably only have like 8 to 10, give or take, like true ones. But I think there is a good chunk of what I call green grades, which is kind of late first, early second grades. I think there's like 30 of those guys, 40 of those guys. And so that's the thing. It's like once we get into the teens in the first round and beyond – if you're in this range, like Banks could go probably 18, you know, he could go like 35. Like, it's like that range is going to be so wild. And we're going to get more honing in on it over the next couple of weeks, yeah, especially with the combine as people start talking. But Banks is a guy that he's going to keep rising up because of the traits and how he did at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
You love your jumbo D lineman, Deion Walker, yeah, last year. You're a don't overthink it pretty good sometimes with D lineman. He looks great.
Yeah, the Deion Walker thing, it was inconsistent, but I watched him absolutely hammer Georgia for fourth quarters, and was the reason
he took over the game.
If Mark Stoops could count, Kentucky would have beat Georgia that year. But unfortunately, he's really bad at game management, so Georgia was able to slip away with one in a game where they really shouldn't have. But yeah, sometimes. I cut through some of the nonsense sometimes. Like, hey, it's really big. It's causing a lot of havoc. Let's see what we got here.
Sometimes, and this is something I learned. I kind of was lucky how I kind of reversed my scouting, being around the NFL and then getting the scouting. But it was something I just saw, like a lot of execs and a lot of GM types. So I kind of emphasized to their scouts. It's like, you have to learn the league, like meaning what works in the league. And that's sometimes why I feel like I go crazy talking quarterbacks. I'm like, if you look at every quarterback, they're all 220 or above weight wise, or they're all doing this athleticism wise. Same with receivers. So like, I'm like, okay, how many guys are 175 pounds and make it, yada, yada. But same when you look at defensive linemen, you look at the guys succeeding and you're like, well, I know what they all look like. So let's just find guys that look like that. I know, yep, sometimes it sounds as simple as that, but find the big athletes. And if they play good enough football, okay, maybe we can work with that. So I know it sounds so simplistic, but really sometimes it just comes down to that. So no, I'm with you on Banks. I'm glad we got to talk about him. That's a perfect kind of name for this exercise. I'm going to get to another one. We started with a college football playoff riser. I'll go with another guy on a team that just filled with football players. And I think he kind of was the kind of the guy that was the microcosm maybe of the Hoosiers defense. That's D'Angelo Pons, corner from Indiana. And when I talk about waving away traits, Pons is a guy I wave away like what he's listed at. This guy is 5'9", give or take, probably 178 pounds, 180 pounds, soaking wet. And that's, okay, alarm bell. Okay, how high can you grade him? This guy is a football player. This guy is such a I want him on my team. Just smarts, knows where to be, stickiness in coverage, feistiness. He's an outstanding tackler. Even if at that smaller size, at least it's not something I have to like, okay, can you kind of try and do this now? Like, that was something I had an issue with Maxwell Harrison, who went in the first round to the Bills last year. I get it. He was fast. He's freaky. That guy was indifferent to playing the run. So that was why it was a little scary for me. This guy's Pons is smaller, but he is willing to stick his nose in there and just be around the football. And he's just around the football a lot. I don't know. He's going to make my top 50, I think. I'm not going to say he's like a first rounder or anything, but the next big board, he for sure will be in that top 50. Cause it's just a football player. Like, someone's going to fall in love with him somewhere on day two. And just because of what he can do and how he can impact the game. And I'm going to say, oh, he's corner one. No, but as teams are running more and more zone coverage, man, I love this guy and like how McDonald does stuff, but you can say that about anybody. But any team that runs like a too high base coverage, a Fangio defense of that sort, where they have to get into the run, where maybe they cloud a side and run cover two on a side, and he can be that cover two corner and get into the run fits and stuff. I just really like Pons. These guys, I'm always going to just kind of fall for, even if the traits aren't there. Yeah. It's just, man, this guy, I watch him impact enough games as a corner that I can't go away from it.
Also, those guys are fun to watch too. I don't know.
They are.
Like just the. You can't make me tired of like the little undersized scrappy playmaker cornerback. I'm always gonna like him. Like I've watched Pons. He impacts so many plays. It's a good player. Yeah. Like that's where the whole Indiana team is basically. Like every prospect here. I'm sure there's some knock you can make on them physically, some knock you can make on them as far as like real prototypes go. But shoot. I watched them play football. I watched them go, dominate Oregon twice. They beat Ohio State. You know, they won national championship against Reuben Bain, who we just talked about earlier, and Key Mesidor, who we'll get to. So can't be that bad, you know? Some of these guys are going to have to be good in the NFL, just like the law of math. So I like Pons. Like I've watched a couple of his games. I was watching a lot during the season, but that's another one. Like I'm good to fall for one of those guys every year. Last year, I think it was Benjamin Morrison for me. I'm gonna be good for one every year, pretty much.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot, and I think it's the team that might want to go away from it. But Kobe Durant with the Rams, feisty, good player on the ball, just small. And Durant measured in at 5'9", 5'8", 180 pounds, ran a 4.38, and he went in the fourth round to the Rams. I think Pons goes on day two, got a little more hype. Durant came out of South Carolina State, so small in FCS. Yeah, you're gonna drop down a little bit, even if your tape's good. But I think Pons has some hype. Everyone loves him that watches him. It's like he just pops off the screen because he just makes plays. So like that maybe is Durant is maybe his ideal kind of like that was what he'll be in the NFL. Yeah, the bigger guys will give him issues, but he's just every week bad quarterback play. He's going to take advantage of it and he's going to get in there in the run game. So I'm glad we get to talk about him. They have a fun safety too. All right. But also my last little stock up before we get to stock shaky, because we're trying to be nice, is this entire receiver class stock up. It's our guy Matt Harmon's probably going to be charting for the next 3 months, so we'll hear from him after the draft once he finally catches up to how many receivers are going to be going probably on day two. Maybe speaks to the rest of positions too, but there is just every type of flavor of a receiver. I'm excited to see what consensus kind of breaks out. I know what my consensus is so far, but we'll see what my consensus. The one person consensus. how I feel so far, but I am curious to see. Combine's gonna be huge for these guys. Who runs what sizes? Because guys like Lemon from USC, I'm curious what his size is. Denzel Boston, how's he run? Carnell Tate, what's his weight? Jordan Tyson, what are his medicals? Those are just the top guys. Casey Concepcion from Texas A&M, what's his size? The Indiana receivers, both of them, which is kind of funny because Matt just came on the show and we talked about both of those guys, Elijah Surratt and Omar Cooper, and he was kind of like a little lower on Cooper. And then now Cooper this last like 2 weeks has just gotten crazy hype. So that was pretty funny kind of dichotomy there. But I think of them both as day two guys. But man, I could keep going on and on. There's a dozen of these guys that probably look like they can go top 60. So will be pretty fun to watch the receiver class shake out the next month or two. But we're going to take our last break and we'll come back with what we're going to call is stock shaky. All right, we are back to round up the show. It was stock down, but we'll call it stock shaky. It feels like, as we enter draft season, it feels weird to say stock down. It's been a week, but we'll do stock shaky. Maybe, guys, we have some more question marks on. Maybe we're thinking we're a little lower on than maybe we perceived that we would be, or maybe we anticipated that we would be. But, Charles, what's your first guy that you have shaky stock with right now?
Even like shaky feels kind of mean because I don't know. I was sitting there last night. I was like, man, stock down. I was like, saying stock down. Ain't nobody played a game in like 3 months outside unless you're a college football playoff team, you know. This feels a little rude.
Premature to say stock down already.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what you've been doing the past 3 months. I don't know. I've been watching the NFL, so it'd be hard for you to say stock down. But I will go with someone who I've had questions about basically since the first game of the season. Caden Proctor, off the tackle from Alabama. Man, he came into the season with a lot of hype. And then that first game against Florida State, which just feels like an absolute fever dream by the end of the season. did not go well for him on the early stage. Just didn't look like he was in the best shape. Was getting dusted a lot. Wasn't strong in the run game. It's one of those things like, all right, cool. Like, it doesn't matter how big or strong you are if you can't stay in front of anybody and you're tired by like halftime. You know, that game was not the strongest look for him. But, you know, then you still see like sometimes like moments where like the athleticism pops. And I know it's obviously not the most translatable play, but the touchdown that he scored against Georgia, like they passed the ball and he kind of nibbled his way down the sideline in the load red zone and scored a touchdown. Okay. Like there obviously is like a lot of like just movement skills here. Else they wouldn't throw you the freaking ball, you know, like if you couldn't, if they didn't have any, if they didn't have like any faith that you were like a talented enough athlete to kind of keep it moving in that direction, they wouldn't give him the ball. And I think like he played better after that when he kind of played his way into shape. But, you know, one thing I won't forget is on one of the broadcasts for one of the big games they play, you know, they were talking about how he was coming into camp, like, you know, 380, 390, like pushing 400 pounds. And that's just kind of where you always get worried with guys as big. Like when you see the listed weight, it's kind of like the extremes on the other end. Like when you see someone who's listed at 170, okay, so you're playing at what, like 155, you know, 150 maybe. And then you see someone listed at 370, I'm like, are you like 380, like 390? Because right, because now we're past the point. Like once you get past like 370, people are like, hey, that's pretty big, you know. Like that's just not where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Not only for like football, but just like for your own life, man. Like you just don't want to be walking around that heavy. So like I'm
sorry.
It's true. Because that's what I always think about with these guys. Sorry, like where it's like, damn, like you're coming, you're in your early 20s coming to camp. You know, pushing 400 pounds, man. Like, what does that look like when you're done playing? Like, this is supposed to be like the peak of your metabolism years, bro. And you have access to all this like nutrition stuff.
And everybody's on top of you right now. Now, when no one cares about you anymore, how much you're gonna weigh?
Right, right. I think he needs to show that like he can kind of come in, and just have like that weight under control, because I don't like the recent history for guys who are that heavy. Like one, there aren't that many of them, and it's not like the prettiest.
I'm
like
Mekhi Becton,
right? Like it's kind of like hard to find guys this size, but like Mekhi Becton, who I think was a much better athlete than Proctor was, like before the knee injuries like kind of took him down. Man, like he couldn't hang at 370 or 360. Like his knees kept getting messed up in the league. And like Mekhi Becton, when he first started, man, like, he looked like he was going to be a damn near like all pro, like every year kind of talent at left tackle. And now
him and Tristan Wirfs like close to each other after a rookie. Like that's how good Becton looked at first.
Every week, Becton's rookie year, I was stalking Baldy's Twitter account for the Highway 77 clips that he would throw out there, where it's just Baldy just hyping up these Mekhi Becton pancakes every week. And there were so many every week. But even then, like, Proctor doesn't move like that. Like they were running outside zone with Becton at 370, which is just something you don't really see. So I think Proctor, he's going to have to show that he can kind of just keep the weight under control, because there still is athleticism to tap into there. There's still like a good football player in there, but it's kind of hard to see that, you know, at the weight that he's been playing at, that would be sustainable for a long career, because it just doesn't really happen like that anymore. Unless you're like Trent Brown, who somehow has been playing forever at 6'8", like 380, but he doesn't move, you know? He doesn't do anything. He just stands there.
Trent Brown.
I'm too big.
And Trent Brown was what, undrafted, wasn't he?
Yes.
A seventh round. Trent Brown was a seventh round. That was off-field stuff as well. But he was a seventh round. That's what sometimes I always do
he was cheap.
Tattoo like, he got.
No. I meant like the years like when his pressure rates would be like, oh, you know, he's like 2-point-something% pressure rate. Okay, well, Brady's throwing the ball in 2 seconds, and you're never going to get around someone that big, that fast. Okay, so that's not quite real. And then he moved on and would get killed by other
teams. Watch him with the Raiders. Yeah.
Right, you know.
I looked it up. So I looked up on Sports Reference, Stathead, players that have a season with 300 listed 370 pounds or more. And Trent Brown's one. Daniel Falele with the Ravens from Minnesota, another one who's been up and down. Caleb Jones, that's a name I don't recall. He's with the Packers. Only played one game. DeJuan Jones, the Ohio State guy that played with the Browns. Ooh. He had issues getting out of his stance. Yeah. Aaron Gibson, shout out Badgers. Lions first round pick back in the day. And then Mike Williams. Remember Mike Williams from the Bills? Non-receiver Mike Williams. one non-receiver Mike Williams. Because there's like three of those. He was a big boy too. He was a first rounder, wasn't he? He was, fourth overall pick from Texas. Okay, so he was a fourth overall pick. So that's like, and he played right tackle, but he only played three full seasons. Didn't even play a full season. Then his fourth season, he played nine games, and then he didn't play again. He only played five seasons in the league, and they took a gap in between there. So saying it's an outlier. People think, oh, bigger, better. No, but that big, that extreme is a huge outlier. Pun intended. And then J.C. Latham kind of like, J.C. Latham's had some nice moments, but he still has to figure out stuff too. That's hurting him as well. Oh, another jumbo Alabama tackle. I'm more with you. I see kind of people now retconning how Proctor played this year, and they're kind of grading to some of his flashes, and I get that. I love my jumbo offensive linemen. I love them, especially if they have somewhat light feet. Just he oozes a little too much for me. And oozers are guys that get beat. And like you said, if you're having that much trouble keeping the weight down that much, it's like that's scary to me because it could get bad pretty quickly. I don't know if that's fair to him or not. Maybe if we drop this to 350, we can see guys. But like historically, this is not who you go for. Okay, Becton's up there. Orlando Brown Jr., another one. That's who you're hoping for is Orlando Brown Jr. Like as far as like maybe more sluggy, giant, massive man that just runs everybody by. But like he was so long, you know, Orlando Brown Jr.
And he had a great situation to start his career across from Ronnie with Lamar Jackson.
Right. You know, and day two pick, not a top 20 guy. This is why I always talk about like quarterback weights. I'm like, oh, well, you know, under 205. Oh, it was Joe Montana, Jeff Garcia. And I'm like, Joe Montana went in the third round. Jeff Garcia played in Canada, was undrafted. It's like those guys weren't taken in the top 20 or the top 15. Like they just ended up having to be success. Oh, Orlando Brown Sr. is another one, AKA, you know, if anyone doesn't know Orlando Brown Sr., his name, nickname was Zeus because he was built like a triangle. He was yoked at 350 pounds. And then he almost killed a ref after the ref blinded him. Michael Onwenu for the Patriots, another one. He bumped in the guard. Solid guard. Amarius Mims, who's with the Bengals, had a really nice year this year, but Mims is a freak. Mims was like one of the best athletes I've seen in years at offensive line. So what we're kind of saying is it's an outlier and it's a little scary. Chantrell Henderson.
Yeah. Once you get at like 350, the quality of player really shoots up, you know, like once you get at 350, that's like the benchmark. Anything over that, it's really hit or miss. But on 350, you
know, really fun.
Pretty good. I mean, dude, even like Tavondre Sweat this year had it was a little shaky for him at times.
Yeah. You got out of shape a little bit. I want to get down. Yeah. It's real. If you skew high, you're going to run high, if that makes sense. If you can't keep on weight, you're going to skew low. And can't keep on weight. It's just how kind of guys are. Sorry, but I was just going to laugh. A lot of the guys that are on this list that I'm looking at, I could just go through this. Isaiah Wilson is another one. Remember Isaiah Wilson?
That's... Look. Okay. I have a funny Isaiah Wilson story that doesn't even actually involve him. But I'm sure people who have been on Twitter for a few years remember they're probably familiar with the troll account Wesley Steinberg on Twitter. And this is when I was still covering the Giants, but I hadn't been there like too long. And this was Joe Judge's. No, I've been there for a minute, but I still like, you know, some of these beat reporters, they blend together. Like I didn't quite know everybody as well as I should have like around me.
Especially when you're not writing.
So, like, dude, I'm one there to punch a clock and go home, bro. That's really all I was doing. But you know, there's this day where Joe Judge, Isaiah Wilson and Joe Judge. And it was the day that Isaiah Wilson got cut, and Wesley Steinberg, like, he wrote, you know, this bit account on Twitter, like, he wrote that Isaiah Wilson had gotten cut because he stole food from the cafeteria and got into a fight with Joe Judge leading to his release. And I was like, knowing all the characters involved in that sentence, I kind of need to take this somewhat seriously. You know, it didn't sound
there's a non-zero fake. Chance like, that Isaiah, happened. Yeah.
Precisely. And that Joe Judge would, like, buck back and, like, fight. Like, I don't know. Maybe. Like, he was trying to build mm-hmm. that kind of culture. So, I remember I called Giants PR. I'm like, bro, like, I'm like, bro, like, this didn't happen, did it? Like, did this actually happen? He was like, nope, welcome to Wesley Steinberg land. But every time I hear Isaiah Wilson, I think, man, I got to check it on the story to see if he was actually stealing fruit from the cafeteria, because that would be, like, one of the more tame things that he's gotten away with.
He was, like, cut from the Titans. He's, like, posting pictures of himself, like, on, like, a newly bought car, no clothes on. I'm like, oh yeah. Boy, this isn't, there's no reconciling this. This is, he's gone. No, God, I think there's some stories coming out. Kuminga getting traded from the Warriors about his family was eating too much food in the cafeteria or something like that. I'm like, God, I don't know who that reflects worse on, that the team's worried about that or his family's doing that.
Who cares? I don't know.
I know.
You got 12 players.
12 guys on the team. 15 guys on the team. I know. NBA teams crack me up. It's like, I mean, even people covering them, they're like, oh, there's just so many players. It's like, all right, there's two. If I watch two NBA teams, that's one starting lineup for an NFL team. Like, two NBA full rosters is one starting lineup, one unit for a one NFL team. All right, we'll move on to the next guy. But I was going to laugh because Jordan Mailata, seventh rounder, international guy. Going through this list is pretty fun for me, because then there's, like, two guys that my dad drafted. Corey Stringer, rest in peace, but unbelievable player. Yeah. And then Bryant McKinney was the other one. What a Ravens on this list, actually. So, yeah. Anyways, there is such thing as too big. You got to be big and you got to move. I'll get on to my next one that I'll say stock is shaky. And anyone's kind of heard me talk about this quarterback class kind of knows this. This is Ty Simpson from Alabama. Let's keep it on Alabama. Keep it in Tuscaloosa. Another coach's kid, like Garrett Nussmeier is. Undersized a little bit, I think, from lack of ideal size, what I would consider a quarterback. Height is not as big to me. I like 6'1 and change is enough to me. I don't go 6'2 like most teams do. More is weight, as many of you guys have heard. And I will keep emphasizing this till the end of the time until I'm proven wrong. 215 pounds is kind of what I look for. 220 is ideal. And I think Ty Simpson doesn't have that frame or that build. And I think you saw it crop up a little this year. Injury-wise, in the pocket, it can kind of affect him. That's the other thing with size, is if you don't have that, you can kind of get bumped off your spot, your launch point. You can get pulled down the pocket, also just holding up. But the thing is with him, what is appealing, and again, I'm talking about this triad of SEC undersized quarterbacks, Nussmeier, Simpson, and Chambliss, is that he's willing to launch that thing. He's willing to hang in the pocket and push it. He's willing to take the highs of the high lows. So I love that aspect with him. It's just that sometimes his accuracy sprays on him a little bit. Sometimes he's just a little inconsistent with placing the ball, could be a step late on some stuff, and also maybe push it a little too much. And again, I've seen, if you watch him the first half of the year, you'd be like, yeah, this guy's QB2. Second half of the year, it's like, is this guy a day three guy? So it's probably somewhere in between me. I have him around three. I just try to be realistic about his size. I think he's a solid athlete, not great. Can kind of just scrap for some yards, just like Nussmeier, actually. It's just some of the accuracy sprays worry me a little bit. If a guy to win like this with kind of his build and his play style, you have to be automatic, which is what Mendoza's bigger, but that's why Mendoza's so appealing, is he hits all the throws. Like, he doesn't really have a spray. Or if he does have a miss, it's like, oh, okay, I understand that. Simpson just has misses. And that sometimes is just a little worrisome for me because of how he has to win at the NFL level. If you're a freak, like, this guy's not in the class, but like Lenoris Sellers, I'm willing to wave away a couple of those misses because he brings so much more to the table and lifts the bar for the entire team, scrambling, creation. Simpson's fine in that regard, can throw a little off platform, just some inconsistencies. I'm curious how kind of QB2 shakes out. I have an inkling that I'll go Nussmeier depending on how Chambliss goes, but kind of a guy I view more as a round three guy will probably be outside my top 50 if I'm being fair, but just outside top 50, kind of will be like player 62 or so. That's how these kind of guys end up for me during the process. But a guy I'm a little shaky on, maybe I'm a little harsh compared to other people, but I think there's kind of more of the consensus is kind of leaning this way anyways. But any Simpson thoughts, Chuck?
Well, yeah, I've seen people, I guess people who like him more wave away some of the, he was hurt. Am I supposed to expect like a quarterback this small isn't going to get hurt like in the NFL? I don't know. So, you know, gotta be realistic, right? Like, because the players he was playing against most week were NFL size, you know, not NFL speed maybe, but NFL size for sure. So I don't know. That the idea that, oh, well, he was hurt, that's not that appealing. I did like a lot of stuff when he was healthy. I think there's a lot of like just baseline starting skill there, but I just don't think enough rare traits to kind of overcome the size. So I would imagine a lot of his value is going to be like how he interviews and just, you know, kind of how much do people like him?
That's it.
How much do we like you being around here? Yeah.
I've had guys graded true third rounders. I mean, shoot, last year, Jackson Dart, and he won the first round. And it's like, that's the thing. Kenny Pickett. I had lower than that, and he won the first round. And it was just like, I can say all this stuff, and they can go. It just takes one team. Like, he's going to interview great. Like, he's a coach's kid. He's a QB coach's kid. Like, these guys are going to interview really well. He's going to be very smart on some stuff. But yeah, that's going to be that. It's funny how that, like, so many people use those little interviews to just wave away film, which is then what that's the resume. The film should be 80%. I would say even 90% of the evaluation. And it's funny how sometimes with quarterback that gets so waved away because guys just latch onto their guy and what they want to become. And it's fascinating. All right. Let's round us out right now with but we each got an ACC defensive lineman. Perfect. That's how we tie this one together. But Charles, what's your last player that you have a little shaky stock with right now? Stock question marks. We'll put it.
I'm going to go with Ruben Bain's teammate, Akeem Mesidor. And this, he's got a pretty big online fan base. So I'm not like trying to like stir up anything or get people upset here. But I think what's interesting about him is he's going to be 25 before the draft. This is a guy who played six years in college. He's a former transfer from West Virginia over to Miami. He played 65 college games. Having trouble looking stuff up right now, but I think he played around 65 college games, which is a lot more than you
David
see
Green from,
yeah, like seriously, like that's like, man, you really like this college football stuff, huh? And it took him until this year to finally pass like the 10 sack barrier. And look, I understand like why he has this hype. He had a great season. He's a part of a championship caliber defense. Obviously, the defensive line was kind of like the heart of that unit with a lot of good players on it. But then there's just like reality, right? Like you look at him play and it looks great, and he and Bane were so disruptive. But like you kind of need to ask yourself why did it take so long for you to figure this out? And you know, once you get into be like 24, like an old 24, where you're gonna be 25 a month before the draft, it just has to matter. It has to matter because it's unlike a profile that you ever really see with like successful defensive linemen. We were talking about this a couple of days ago. I would imagine like your best case scenario or your hope for him is like Bruce Irving, like what Bruce Irving turned out to be. Yep. I don't think he's quite as good an athlete as Bruce was, because Bruce was like the athleticism really, I think it kind of made you look over some stuff. I don't think he's like quite that level of an athlete, but it's good enough like where you might be able to hope that he has a big performance in Indianapolis. But I just think you kind of got to recalibrate like what you look at with the production with him, because I mean, he's just so much older than the guys he's going against. And again, like, if you're really like a great defensive lineman, it's not going to take you 6 years before we're talking about you as a first round pick. It's not to say like he's not an NFL player. I just imagine that when you're starting to like project this into the future, like most guys, I was thinking about how to explain this earlier, and I think I said on this, like most rookie defensive linemen, like even like the guys who are highly drafted, top five in the draft, like most of the guys, like they start off their careers as like, in terms of caliber players, not snap counts per se, but like rotational caliber players, where you're just like, oh, you know, we're hoping to see like an impact here or there. But, you know, like Reuben Bain's 21. So if he has that season,
snaps, yeah.
Right, yeah, 60% snaps, like, you know, he had like, you know, a few TFLs, like three, like six sacks, like we had a pretty good quality season. But like with younger players, we're still projecting, okay, well, you're still going to get bigger, stronger, faster. You know, Mesidor, like at the top of the draft, like 25, you're maxed out physically. And if I understand, like, you're just going to be behind the curve normally, then what is like the full upside here? And that's why I think like he would have to run like four, like high 4.4s, low 4.5s, like crushing the three cone, like basically top of the line every drill. Didn't see like that caliber athlete, because I think if he was, he would have been in the NFL for quite some time now.
That's what every time I want to get excited about him, like this season, don't get me wrong, this season he was dominant. Sometimes his film looked better than Bane's because it had.
Yeah.
He has what people like the pass rushing bag, which is also, there's good with that and there's bad with that. Because to me, the bad with that is, all right, what else am I teaching him? If he already has this deep of a bag, he already has four pitches to throw. All right. There's what else am I tapping into? Because he's already 25. I'm legitimately 25. This is a fact. People got mad at me for pointing it out. He's going to be 25 in April, and he has injury history as well. That's going to be another thing. Medicals. I get it. He had 12 and a half sacks this year in a lot of games. He impacted the game a lot. He's hard to block one-on-one. He can get after the passer. He has a bag. He has length, it looks like. I think at West Virginia, he played inside a little more, and he can do that as well. He can bump inside as well. He's got some grit to him. Listed 6'3", 265. It's just that, again, this is kind of fun, this kind of like stock shaky area. Talk about outliers, whether it's the quarterbacks we talked about, whether even D'Angelo Pollins, actually, we're talking about him, but Caden Proctor as well. Age is an outlier. I mean, I looked this up when talking about Mesidor, is that since 2002, every 25-year-old that's been drafted in the top 90 since 2002, I should say, the only hits are at offensive line. And then it's Byron Young with the Rams and Bruce Irvin. And that's really it. And I can link this tweet or whatever, but you can look it up as well. There's not a lot of guys that hit. And if you look at first rounders, 25-year-old first rounders since 2002, Terrence Newman, the DB for the Cowboys, Bruce Irvin, Jerome McDougal, Kyle Long, Garrett Bowles, Aaron Ross, Pariah Jerry. Hayden Hurst, Sylvester Williams, Jerry quit like in middle of training camp, for anyone knows, he's a Falcon. That's the first rounder list. That's it. Okay. Hayden Hurst, nothing. Jerry wasn't much. Garrett Bowles had it. The guys that succeeded, there's a narrative that makes it make sense that they had more to tap into. Garrett Bowles is a great example. Kyle Long was a baseball player. Okay. That makes some sense. So those are the offensive linemen. Bruce Irvin makes sense. Bruce Irvin dropped out of high school. Got a GED. And then he was like, hey, I'm athletic. Yeah. I should go to JUCO. And then he went to West Virginia. Yeah. And right away at West Virginia, he impacted the game. I got his stats right here. Junior at West Virginia, 14 sacks as a junior at West Virginia. And then the senior year, he had 8.5 and 15 TFLs. Okay, Bruce goes in the first round, has a nice career. Byron Young was out of football as well. And I think went to either JUCO or something else before he went to Tennessee. And then right away, 5.5 sacks and 7 sacks, bunch of TFLs at Tennessee. He's turned into a nice, good player, good starter for the Rams. Third round pick. That's an outlier. And if you're betting on that and you're betting on that in the top 20, you better be right. Because that is, to me, a much more risky pick than I think people are kind of saying right now. Age, injury history. Impacting the game until he was fine at West Virginia. He was a good player at West Virginia. And then this year he breaks out. It's scary to me. That's just very scary to me. Second round, go for it. You know, somewhere in the second round, totally get for it. Byron Young range, go for it. T- top 20, that's a dicey proposition to me. Unless you were kind of like a winner that wants a guy. That's why. It's just, I have to understand the risk with him.
Yeah. The last thing I have is sometimes with the older prospects, just to put it in perspective, like some of the players that were in Mesidor's recruiting class, Bryce Young, Paris Johnson, Jalen Carter, Bijan Robinson, Will Anderson, Trent Simpson, Darnell Washington, like guys we've watched play at the NFL for several years now. Kayshon Booty was in that class, Michael Mayer, CJ Stroud, like, man, these guys have been in the NFL. Right, they're extension eligible, exactly. It's just a tough sell for me at defensive line, and it's just, I think at that position too, it's like, dude, like part of the reason you were dominating is because like you're just older than a lot of your competition. Like last year, like 5 sacks, this year 12 and a half. It's just like such a stark jump in production with the age too. I don't know. If he works out, okay, like that'll be a miss on my part. But man, there's just so many like outlier stuff here that you're looking at in terms of like the age and production where. Like I just can't find myself him. We're here. He's gonna be like, okay, he's gonna walk into the NFL as good as he was last year and be like a 10 sack guy every year. No, that never ever happens. Yeah. So, I gotta push him down to like day two, like maybe even like round three, just off the age alone.
And medicals and everything. Every prospect, it's not a like, oh, this guy automatically gonna be a star, gonna be this. It's a pie, you know. It's the likelihood of. Star, likelihood of starter, likelihood of role player, likelihood of bust. And like to me, more of his likelihood is just starter as opposed to star. And you're trying to draft stars in the first round and then move on to starters and role players. To me, it's more starter role player pie chart than star pie chart.
Yeah.
That's how I just view him. I like him. Don't get me wrong. But to wave away the injuries and the age and everything of that and lack of, you know, lesser production earlier in his career is kind of just waving away a lot of stuff that goes into scouting outside of just having a deep bag of pass rushing tricks, which you should have when you're 24 years old in your sixth year in college football. All right, moving on to my last guy, a little shaky on a guy we've been high on. I just kept waiting for him to take that next step. Kind of just didn't. Maybe he's a guy that gets to the NFL and takes that bump. I'm trying to gauge. This guy was my number one player going into the season. That's Peter Woods, defensive lineman from Clemson. Getting a little worried about his length. Kind of knows some of the stuff shedding. He's really, if he doesn't win, that's instant disruption. Like, and he's quick. He's got light feet. This is why I liked him so much. He's got light feet. You can see his explosion. You can really see him get into the backfield. But I see the lack of length show up a little bit more. And if I'm going to make that such a big deal about Bane, I better make it a big deal about Peter Woods. Is that it's just I see maybe sometimes he gets to the play and he can't even get the guy because he lacks the length. See, sometimes he gets latched on a little bit when on the blocks and he can't get off the block, or he's not even giving that little effort to give that to get off the block. He doesn't have that grit that makes me a little worried, especially with bigger guys. The traits are great still as far as light feet, athleticism, all that type of stuff. I think I'm just – my stock is shaky on him where I have to re-gauge. I thought this guy was a locked in top 10, top 12 guy. And I think more now he's kind of more of a back half of the first round type guy. I still like him because you can't teach that size and that athleticism. I still think he could be a nice, can move around the front a little bit. No, like pass rushing nose, can play three tech a little bit, can even do some 3-4 DN stuff because he's done it too. But just, yeah, I'm trying to kind of recalibrate him is maybe the best way to put it, because I've checked out a few more late season games thinking I'd see a little bit more sustainability. And it's just like the rest of that Clemson team, just a lot of meh. Woods is, I've kind of tempered where I'm at with him, but I'm curious kind of where you think, what do you think with Woods? Cause I know you and I were kind of lockstep being high on him early in the year.
Yeah, I watched him and I was a little underwhelmed. It's not like I guess based on some of the stuff I was reading like preseason, I was expecting to see it's more just like force of nature stuff, Like I saw from Caleb Banks in the few games that he played. It's like, man, like
take over a game.
It sounds crazy, but like sometimes like when I'm looking at even though I'm looking at the production and I'm looking at tape, like, man, I think I might go Caleb Banks here, even though Peter Woods has been the healthier player and been on the field more. Mm-hmm. Just never quite clicked for him or really the whole defense this year. I wonder if this may be a situation where does he need like just a scenery change, a kind of a fresh
get to the league.
Fresh steps for everybody. Yeah, just get to the league and kind of reset there. And honestly, like I think this could be one of those situations where like the draft fall kind of works out because you end up in a more competent organization, maybe one that can push you a little bit better, one that can take your development a little more seriously. But man, like I'm with you. He's got like the first step tools, but it's not like sustaining in the way that I would like to all the time. So he's got to get a little stronger. But the base is there. Just needs the right team to unlock it. Like I think even now, as we like, because we mocked him a lot to the Ravens when they had a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. I still think like if he falls there, now you got Jesse Minter. Like that pick still makes a lot of sense because they still do need more juice up front. And like, there's gonna be some defensive coach out there looks at and says we can fix that. Whether it's gonna be at the top of the draft, feel a little bit less confident about.
Yeah. He's a guy, like, I get this. Some players are just like this. They, like, the team's not going great. They kind of, quote-unquote, save themselves, knowing that they'll make it to the league. I mean, he declared right away. But also, it's like, do I want to invest in that guy as my top guy? Because you want your best players to be your best workers. And I know nothing about, like, I have yet to hear anything bad about Peter Woods. So this is just me watching him on film, though. I've seen this happen with some defensive linemen. You know, the greatest example, and this isn't the best player, was Mario Edwards when he was at Florida State. He knew he was going to go high.
Recruit in the country.
Dude just shut it down. And it was like, and he ended up going to the second round, and he goes to the Raiders. It was not really the situation you want him to go to. Ended up sticking around for a while in the league. But Woods is a better player. I grade him out better. But those type of guys are always in my head. Like, it's a guy I wouldn't want to take high because I want my guys they draft high to be the guys that set the tone, that bring it every week, bring it every play. And not saying he's lazy or anything, but just, you just felt the lack of impact. And man, last year, watch him. There were some games. Watch the South Carolina-Clemson game last year. He took that game over. And then this whole year, I've watched four games on him already, maybe even five, but for sure four. And I'm just like, and I loved him. Like, and I'm like, oh man, you're making this really hard on me. Like I don't know. He's young still, true junior coming out. He was a big recruit as well. I understand if he still goes in the first round. Like, I totally get the traits and everything, but I think his landing spot really matters now.
Draft stuff is funny sometimes because I remember watching that South Carolina Clemson game and just like off live stuff. Like that was like my first like glimpse of Peter Woods and I've been watching Lenore Sellers a lot that season because he really picked it up in the back half of that season. I was like, damn, like, you know, like maybe two top five picks for next year. And look how fast everything changes. Norris back at South Carolina.
Changed quickly.
And now Peter Woods, maybe bottom of the first round. Yeah.
Maybe. I'm still might be the high guy on them. All of them, like my teens, I think, or late teens in my big board. But Chuck, this was fun. Dipping our toes into draft. I wouldn't say more toes. We dipped our feet into draft season, to the waters of the draft season. So a lot of fun. Thanks for joining me today. We're closing it out. I'll be back on Tuesday with Matt, as always. I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice on social media. That's Charles McDonald. You can find him at @4verts on Blue Sky. Are you playing any video games right now? Didn't you start something?
Yeah, I started Clair Obscur Expedition. Yeah, I've been waiting until the season ended. I've got Clair Obscur Expedition 33 on my docket. I just started yesterday, and I've also got The Other Worlds 2 on my docket. So, you know, I'm trying to expand the gaming a little bit now that we got our Sundays back, which I definitely will be doing this weekend.
Same. I know. I think my wife is very happy to have me back on Sundays. I've been getting solo board games. I got Daydream, pretty fun game here.
There you go.
Some other ones over here. Yeah, for Northwood. I can't see it.
But, so,
you can't? Oh, yeah, you can't see it? Okay,
no.
For Northwood. Our YouTube audience can see it. What else I got? I've been into solo board games because I'm an old man and I got no one to play with right now. Yeah, I got some other ones. Adam Master. This one's fun. It's like you're a captain on a ship and you get into some spooky stuff. But yeah, that's where I'm doing. Off season, baby. Prospects, yep. Board games. Yeah, baby. I'm so cool. All right. Make sure to subscribe to us, follow us, rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. Also watch us on YouTube on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. Thank you to all of us that already do that. But make sure if you don't to check us out there as well. We'll have plenty of draft content and free agency content coming up. So make sure to like and subscribe to the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. Thanks to Stone, Austin Madison, behind the scenes. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Again, thank you for Super Bowl week. You guys killed it. And I really appreciate you guys, everything you guys do. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate you guys as well. And see you guys next time. Have a great weekend.